chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the martyr of the Petaloomies.
You're listening to KRCB FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa.
My days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Did you get to a farmer's market this weekend or even during the week? It's a great time at farmer's markets. It's sort of a transition season as we're starting to see, you know, the first of spring coming into the market, and both at the market and driving around. Oh, what a great year it is for calla lilies, one of my all-time favorite flowers, and they're just in bloom everywhere. Also, if you haven't, I really urge you to take a minute to early in the morning, preferably, or late in the afternoon, look at the trees. Look at all the bare trees that are bursting into flower. They look like you can just go pick popcorn off them. In the little valley where I live, there must be like 30 or 40 trees, and they all just like popped overnight. And also the wisteria starting to get its, you know, and wisteria is one of those plants, like a lot of the fruit trees, they get their blossoms before they get their leaves. And so the wisteria, I'm going to say maybe another 2 weeks. The blossoms I've seen that when they finally open up are about 8 inches long. They're right now about 1 inch to 2 inches long. And I know in Sebastopol and a couple of other places, there's some really beautiful white wisteria plants, some on Main Street, just a little bit south of downtown where it starts to curve. There's, I think it's an office, maybe an accounting office. There's 5 or 6 white wisterias trimmed to be tree-shaped rather than vine-shaped. And one of my favorite things in all of spring and all of Sonoma County is when that white wisteria blooms. It's so gorgeous. Another thing that's come across my radar is that the California legislature, I believe, has a bill going forward to end daylight savings time, something that seems to be very controversial, but something I support because I really like spring mornings. So if you care about that, you might want to, you know, go into the California state website or just, you know, Google it. Be interesting to see. I think it's sort of an outdated thing. We use more power We use a lot more energy resources during daylight savings time. And I just like, you know, I think the Earth does a pretty good job of figuring out what time it is. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about as we approach spring in Northern California. Another thing that is happening just before we actually hit spring, which I believe maybe Mike can check for us. I think spring is March 21st. Sometimes it's the 20th, you know, sometimes it's like after midnight on the 22nd. But we have coming up on March 18th, 19th, and 20th, California Artisan Cheese Festival. And that is what we are talking about this evening. It is, I believe, it's the 10th anniversary celebration. It takes place at the Sheraton Hotel in Petaluma. And cheese lovers, this is the place for you. And we have two or three guests talking about this tonight. And the first one we're going to talk with is Karen Bianchi, Valley Forge Cheese. Is it Valley Forge Cheese or Valley Forge Cheese Company?
Valley Forge Cheese Company.
Okay. And welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for Estero Gold. I just love that cheese.
Yeah, well, I'm glad.
And one thing I want to hear about before we talk about how you're involved with the festival is what inspired particularly the Estero Gold.
Back when we started the whole family conversation about making a cheese, mm-hmm. The style of what we wanted to make and kind of go back in time with the our ancestors, mm-hmm. Switzerland and Italy, those kind of Italian style cheeses.
The table cheeses.
Mm-hmm. And growing up with my grandmother and grandfather, of course, living right next door to them, there was always a particular cheese. We have no idea what that cheese was to this day. Unfortunately, they have passed. But it had kind of a nutty Swiss taste to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was under the little glass dome, never went in the refrigerator, sat right next to the wine bottle, you know, the decanter. Uh-huh. And so on the whole journey, I think that was the first direction. So if mm-hmm. we were going to make a value-added product and make a cheese, mm-hmm. it was definitely going to be in the style that kind of hit close to home. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Estero Gold started. And then, of course, as that cheese ages, turns into the Estero Gold Reserve.
Right.
And then that's the journey that we've gone down and mm-hmm. been fortunate enough to, you know, fall into making some really nice cheeses. Mm-hmm.
What year did you start?
2008 mm-hmm. was actually when we started.
And were you a dairy before that?
So we've been a dairy since on our piece of land right now. It'd be 100 years, and we'll celebrate it in 2018.
Ah,
so
excellent.
It's approaching, mm-hmm. and of course we'll have to make a cheese that'll hit that 1 year at 100 year anniversary. Mm-hmm. But we are now in the fifth generation of actually coming back and working the land, the cows. Uh-huh. And we just kind of took that other route in 2008, and, mm-hmm. and just it's evolved from there.
And what road are you on? Are you on Valley Forge Road?
We're on Highway 1, okay. right in Valley Forge, uh-huh. on your way about a mile out of Valley Forge, our dairy.
Uh-huh. And towards Petaluma?
Towards Bodega Bay.
Oh, towards Bodega. Oh,
the movie The Birds was filmed
in our
particular dairy.
Oh, really? Okay, great.
There's a few little history things uh-huh. that happened there. And mm-hmm. and so, yeah, the movie The Birds was filmed there.
It's such a wonderful area. I mean,
it
the
is.
Air is so beautiful.
It's
just lovely, lovely air and physically beautiful as well. So you probably went about 2 miles as the crow flies from the ocean?
About four or five miles,
okay.
But the Estero de Americano is our
right.
watershed,
uh-huh.
which is where that name came from.
And right.
So that's, you know, we get those coastal breezes and winds. And
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it's sort of, I always think it has just this almost briny aroma.
It does.
You know, and I love the cheeses.
That come
from within that, I don't know, the fog bank or the sea mist bank or something. I just love those flavors. What other cheeses are you making besides the Estero Gold and the Reserve?
We have the Highway 1. That'd be more in the Wash Rhine, the Fontina style. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that we have a Gorgonzola.
Oh, cool.
It's been a labor of love. It's my son's project, and hopefully the first batch will be unveiled officially at the Artisan Cheese Festival is what we're hoping.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, it's exciting.
And you should see right now we are unpacking cheeses, crackers. David Bice of Redwood Hill Farm Goat Dairy has just arrived, and we also have with us in the studio Judy Greverman Walker. And Judy, I was trying to think, what is your position? Is it executive director of the...
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the executive director.
Okay. That's what I thought. And I've known you in so many different ways. You've done so many events in Sonoma County for a very long time. And welcome, David. You've been here before as well.
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, straight from the farm. You know, I had to run on in as fast as I can. Thanks for having us.
Anytime. Okay, let's go back. Oh, wait. I just see. I'm looking over the mic and seeing that you brought some samples. So before we shift to the overall topic of the Cheese Festival, let's talk about what you brought for us to taste.
I brought you the sterile gold, which I know you're familiar with. So I brought the young and the old.
And how long is the young aged?
6 months. Okay. So that's where there's that nutty Swiss to it. And of course, as that ages, it almost turns into a Parmesan style. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets that real, the beautiful crystals in it and everything. So the profile completely changes when it gets to be 18, 24 months. Mm-hmm. It really is different.
I have to tell you, this cheese makes a fabulous risotto.
Thank you.
I made a risotto the other night for my grandson Lucas and I, and I have beautiful parsley in my garden right now. So it was just some homemade chicken stock and some good rice, estero gold, and parsley.
It sounds good.
It was really, really good. And I went back to get, it was dinner for two nights, and then I went back and I was going to have what was left for lunch. And Lucas had eaten it.
Oh.
I think he must have got... It's just fine. You know, he has such a good...
It was enjoyed.
He must have gotten up in the middle of the night or eaten it for breakfast before he went off for school. So, it makes a great risotto. So, let's see. Let's do a comparative tasting of those two.
You want to try... So, here is... There's the younger, the really lighter one.
The lighter one.
And, of course, the aged one is going to have a little deeper yellow color to that. So it's 100% Jersey milk. So
that makes so much. Jersey milk is just so great.
It is. High butter fat, high protein.
There's a woman who is getting ready. She's in West County, and she's getting ready to do a cow share program.
Okay.
You know, and the cow share is where you have your own cow. Maybe you have like a 20th of the cow, which means that you get a 20th of the milk. And it's really the only way that you can get local raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
And her cow is a Jersey cow, and I've been enjoying the milk because she's been organizing herself to do make the cow share offerings, and it's so delicious, so delicious. So the young Estero Gold is very nutty.
It's really nutty.
And that's one of the qualities that I just really love about it. Mike?
Yes, I'm eyeing it. And by the way...
Here's the young.
I don't know if anybody else wants to try it.
And here's the aged.
Okay. And by the way, the spring equinox in Santa Rosa is March 19th at 9:30 p.m.
Oh, okay. So it's a little earlier than usual. As is Easter this year.
They're both tied to the moon.
Right. Yes. So. Yes. Well, I just love those cheeses. How are they? Where are they sold?
Actually, all over Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. A lot of specialty stores.
I'm sure it's at
Oliver's.
Oh, I was thinking of in Freestone.
The Freestone Artisan Cheese Shop. Artisan, yes. Yes, I'm fortunate to have a lot of restaurants actually using it, too.
Yes, I see it on menus a lot.
So, and then... San Francisco area, San Diego, and fortunate enough to be in Florida and New York.
Florida.
And some specialty spots, yeah.
Next thing we got to get you and say New Orleans. Because my daughter lives in Hattiesburg, and when I go to see her, I fly into New Orleans, we spend some time, and then we go shopping in New Orleans before we go to Hattiesburg, so we have good things to cook with.
Sounds good to me.
And I actually found, not in Hattiesburg, I saw Redwood Hill Goat Farm products, which makes my daughter Nicole loves your yogurt, your plain yogurt.
All right.
And so it makes her very happy that she. I mean, that's the finest yogurt she can get in Mississippi.
Oh, glad to hear it. Yeah, we're nationwide with the yogurt and kefir in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
I know the cheeses are a lot more small batch and regional, available for distributors throughout the Western U.S. But typically, you're going to find them concentrated in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to bring Judy Groverman in now. Judy Groverman and Walker. And let's talk about the what is there anything special happening for the 10th anniversary of the Cheese Festival?
Well, we've made a few changes this year just to kind of capitalize on some of the things that people really like. So we've added some more farm tours. We actually have two farm tours that will be in the Sacramento Valley.
Oh, wow.
So one of them will leave Nugget Market in Woodland and go up north to Orland. It'll make three different farm stops.
Oh.
And then another will leave from Sacramento and go south down to Modesto and make three different farm stops.
Uh-huh.
So both of those are new and kind of fun because it explores some areas we haven't explored yet.
Right. But those people, those cheesemakers have been involved in the festival.
Correct. Because it's California's Cheese Festival, we try to reach out as much as we can and give people the whole California look of things.
Mm-hmm.
We've also added a couple farm tours on Saturday because, again, they're so popular that we wanted to expand those out the most that we could.
Mm-hmm.
But then Saturday night, we have our 10th anniversary celebration, and that's where we're going to honor some of the cheesemakers that have been involved since the start, and we're going to do some fun things. We've got Corbell is going to do a Bubbles Lounge.
We like bubble lounges.
We have some fun things in store.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And let's see. For the basics, it takes place at Sheraton Hotel, and people buy tickets. Do you buy a ticket for the entire thing? Or just for the specific?
So we want to encourage as many people to experience cheese as they can. Mm-hmm. So we offer all of the tickets a la carte. So you can come to everything if you want, but you can also pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it especially work well if you want to go to some of the seminars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does take place at the Sheraton's kind of the home base, but all of our big events will happen in the tent this year. And we've got two giant tents that are in the parking lot at the Sheraton.
Yes, right there on the Petaluma River.
Yeah, it's a great location.
It is. It's a wonderful location. And I know that you've got Bubbles and Brunch happening on Sunday.
Yes, John Ash has come. He's been involved since the start, but this year he's going to be our Bubbles Brunch chef.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be demonstrating two of the dishes. All of the dishes that you will have for brunch will be cheese-based, but two of those he will actually demonstrate while you have brunch with him. And Gloria Farrar is providing the bubbles for that brunch.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Very nice. I think bubbles and cheese, it's really
a nice combination.
Yes. And there's a specific reason for that. A lot of people say, you know, cheese and red wine, but I just think cheese and anything sparkling, whether it's sparkling wine, the right beer, you know, the right beer can just be beautiful, or cider. And I'll tell you, some of the ciders being made in West County are such beautiful companions to the Estero Gold. It's one of my favorite combinations.
Thank you.
What are the prices on the tickets, and how do people, I mean, people right now, if they're listening, they can go to the website and check it out and that sort of the thing. So let's tell them the prices.
So the website is artisancheesefestival.com. And most of the farm tours are sold out right now. There is still one farm tour available that will leave from the Sheraton and will be local. And then there are still spots on the two Sacramento tours.
Mm-hmm.
The farm tours are $135, and it's a full day on the Friday, Friday, March 18th. Friday night, we have a cheesemongers competition, so we're bringing in cheesemongers from all over all over California.
Mm-hmm.
They will get one cheese, and they will have to make the best bite out of that one cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what that cheese is yet. They'll soon find out and have to figure out what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That competition is very fun, and it is a $50 ticket, and you get to sample all of the bites. There's beer, wine, and cider.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we have seminars. There's three seminars in the morning and three seminars in the afternoon. There's a sake and cheese. There's a beer and cheese. There's chocolate and cheese. There's sensory perception. There's a new California wine and cheese. We've got, you know, some fun seminars that people can learn a little bit more about cheese and pairings and how cheeses taste and why they taste different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Seminars are $75 a person, and it includes Pelima Market is doing lunch for all of the seminar participants, so you get a complimentary lunch.
Oh, nice.
Saturday night is our big celebration. It is the 10th anniversary California Cheesin', and we'll have a band, and we'll bring in about 27 different restaurants, and they'll each be partnered with a cheesemaker, and they will compete with their best bite. Joey Altman is going to be our MC for the night, and that ticket is a $75 ticket. On Sunday for the Bubbles Brunch, we talked a little bit about that. You get brunch, but you also get entry into the marketplace an hour early before everybody else gets in.
That's always nice.
And that ticket is $115. And that is almost sold out. People really want that early entry and to have breakfast with John Ash.
And then the marketplace itself?
The marketplace is $45. And once you get in, there's over 90 vendors, and it's cheese sampling, beer, wine, cider sampling, sampling of other products that go great with cheeses.
And you can also buy cheeses, right?
Definitely. Right. So there'll be, I think we've got 28 vendors that you can buy cheese and sample cheese from.
Excellent. Okay, so check that out. Right now we're going to take a real quick musical break. We're going to come back and talk with David Bice of Redwood Hill. Dusk by Fleetwood Mac with USC Marching Band. I love every opportunity I get to play that. Okay, we are going to just shift slightly now to some. I think Redwood Hill has been involved in every year, you know, all 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the really visible and one of the real pioneers of sort of the modern local cheese movement. Around since what, 19? I know it's the 1960s when it was a goat milk dairy with your parents, right?
Yeah, mom and dad started, it was 1968.
Okay.
And, it was really Jennifer, my sister, who's the CEO still, mm-hmm. and really the cheese maker. These are all her recipe cheeses. She took over in the late 70s, and she's mm-hmm. really the one that brought it, Redwood Hill Farm, to where it is today.
Right.
Nationwide with the kefir and yogurt, and truly one of the goat cheese pioneers of mm-hmm. the modern era.
Yeah, the country, you know. Laura Chanel and Jennifer.
And Mary Keene of Cypress Grove.
Oh, right.
Another. In fact, those three were inducted into the American Cheese Society, whatever they call it. It's a Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor type thing, as one of the goat cheese pioneers.
Excellent. And I remember back, gosh, it must have been in the mid-80s when, for a while, there was the Goat Cheese Festival. Does anyone remember that? You were in Hawaii. You were living in Hawaii.
Exactly.
And I was a chef at that point. And I remember, I think it took place at Landmark Vineyards. And there were two or three years. I still have some of the wine glasses with the logo on it.
Oh, neat.
And, you know, I was there making things with goat cheese. And there must have been 20 or 30 goat cheese producers back then. It was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really fun event.
I was looking at some old Redwood Hill scrapbooks recently, and I saw all these events that Michelle Anna Jordan was
really?
Involved in with Redwood Hill.
I did a lot of things with you guys.
Now defunct wine and cheese or different festivals.
Well, there was the Farmlands Group.
Okay.
And the Farmlands Group did really amazing tastings early on in the 80s. And there would be a number of wineries and then people serving food. And it was before we got quite as self-aware as we are now. So there was a little bit more innocence about it. But I remember, gosh, being at, oh, I can't think of the name of the hotel right now because it's changed a couple of times, but it's that big one in Rennert Park, big ballroom. Anyway, it was
the Doubletree.
Maybe it's Doubletree now. It didn't start out as that, and then I remember another one was Rodney Strong, but there were a lot of them. Yes, I did a lot of things with the cheeses, a lot of recipes, and I just did for the second time at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. Not for my demo, but for, I was in a booth with some books and just giving away samples of smoky apple chowder, I think I call it. And it's an apple chowder with a little bit of, just enough chipotle that you get that smoke and a bit of heat, but it doesn't kill the wine or cider. And then lots of your smoked goat cheddar.
Mm, oh, yeah.
I must have given away 500 samples of that cheese. And it is a fabulous soup. Just fabulous. So tell us what you have right now.
Yeah, well, we make so many different goat cheeses, Michelle, as you know, from over the years. And so many people know goat cheese. They know Chev. Well, all Chev is goat cheese, mm-hmm. obviously, but not all goat cheese is Chev. And
right.
Still a little bit of a pet peeve of mine when I see someone's recipe calling for goat cheese. Typically, they're calling for Chev, I think, but it's,
you can't, you know, it's like, well, which one?
It could. They could be calling for anything. It's like a recipe calling for cow cheese or a recipe calling for wine. You know, you need to be a little more specific, maybe, about that. But so, what I brought was some Chev with a roasted green chili. It's a really nice pairing. Born in the garden, in fact, my brother and I, we grow everything at the farm, and we love growing green chilies and then roasting them in the oven, stuffing them with fresh Chev. It's just a great pairing. So mm-hmm. we just take that, and now we stuff the Chev with the green chili. So it's the same basic principle.
Yeah, I served this to the class I was teaching, just wrapped up at Ollie. I served this one and the one that the fresh Chev that is flavored with chives and garlic.
Okay, yeah.
And then popular. And also, and then the a cheddar. And people loved them. People, you know, I asked for a raise of hands, and these are people 50 and over. How many people here don't like goat cheese? And, you know, you get about a third to 50% of the people raise their hands. Then they taste these, and they're all, wow, I really liked these. I don't like goat cheese, but I like these.
Yeah, well, thanks for making that point. That's exactly it. These are very accessible. And the smoked cheddar, that our smoked goat cheddar you mentioned, is one of the great classic examples of people. I'm serving it at a local fundraiser, and they'll come and say, sorry, I don't really like goat cheeses. Mm-hmm. If I can convince them to try the smoked goat cheddar, they're converts. They're right away. And then they're trying to convince me it can't be goat cheese because now they love it. And while I wake up on the farm, I look out the window, all I see are goats. So I'm pretty sure it's goat cheese.
That's why with the smoky apple chowder, goat cheese isn't in the name. And so people think, wow, that's really good. What is it? And I tell them that it's, well, it's goat cheddar. And they're like, really?
Yeah, and so we call that our gateway goat cheese.
Perfect.
A lot of cheese purists, they don't like stuff in their cheese. They don't want to smoke cheese. They don't want green chilies or garlic chive. But again, some people do. And those are some of our most popular cheeses. Mm-hmm. Again, it's making it accessible. Maybe someone will take that leap and do trying a goat cheese and then maybe go on to something a little bit more complex like the Blumenrein Terra, which is a true French.
The Terra. I don't know if I've had the Terra. Why don't we start our tasting with that one?
Okay.
Let me see what you're talking about with the Terra.
Yeah, this is a real earthy, robust cheese. If you've had our California Croton.
Yes, absolutely.
This is basically the same cheese but a larger format.
Okay.
Now, we make the larger format and you can see that really neat, wrinkly, squiggly Geotrichum rind there. That means it's a really authentic French original there. We make the larger format, the different rind to paste ratio allows it to ripen slower.
Mm-hmm.
It stays softer longer. You know, some people like it with more age, and what it'll do is it'll get hard as a rock. It'll shrivel. Mm-hmm. All you can do is grate it, shred it over a salad, over pasta. Same flavor, a little bit more intense, but we like to serve it. We like people to enjoy it when it's younger, when it's still soft and fluffy. You get that earthy,
it's
robust.
It's so good. It's really, really good. I haven't had the Croton for a while. And before you got in here, I was talking about how the Estero Gold makes a really beautiful risotto. The hard Croton also does.
Yeah, there's a lot of
fabulous
things.
In risotto.
Great. Yeah, you can do a lot of things. Some people with a little Meyer Lemon olive oil will do a little soak and use it that way. But there's a lot of things you can do with it. But we do prefer it young and on that soft. It's dense, but a little bit fluffy to that texture.
And it just has this really pretty acidity to it.
All right,
you know, there's that brightness on the palate that you get when the acid is, and I don't even know if I know the exact technical way to talk about that.
Well,
but there's that bit of tang.
Exactly, and you know, you get the goat flavor, not in an offensive, objectionable way, but the goat. But it's more than that. And the name Terra is a reference to the terroir of our farm
and the earthiness of the flavor. There's a real earthiness.
And so this is a very common farmhouse cheese in Loire Valley area of France, the Croton de Chavignol. There's dozens and dozens of local farmers with a handful of goats that are going to make that cheese, and you'll find it at cheese shops.
And if it's from the Loire Valley, it probably tastes good with Sancerre.
There you go.
Or Sauvignon Blanc. And I know for a fact that this tastes really good with Sauvignon Blanc.
There it is, right there.
Now, I want to just divert a little bit, because you have just come out, you have a secondary label.
Yeah.
That is uses cow's milk, Green Valley Organics, and if I've got it correctly, everything under that label is, lactose-free?
Lactose-free, real dairy, organic dairy from certified humane dairies in Sonoma County, but lactose-free.
Right, and I just got you have a new plain yogurt and plain, plain kefir. I just got samples. I just got Nancy Lawrence,
who's
a longtime friend and hula sister, and actually used to engineer Mouthful.
Absolutely, yeah. She's talked about the memories.
She brought the samples over to me. So tell us about the Green Valley Organics label.
Yeah, it is cow dairy. It's real dairy, real delicious, but lactose-free. You know, we've been fielding questions, concerns. You know, goat milk in general is for the health food consumer, people maybe with digestive issues. We've been answering those questions for decades now. And some people just don't like the flavor of a goat milk or a goat yogurt or kefir. And we found a ranch in western Sonoma County that operates a lot like we operate our goat dairy. They do everything organically. They're certified humane, raised and handled through HFAC.org, just like we are. And so we started doing some trials. Why don't we make some lactose-free yogurt and kefir? It worked. It went national almost immediately, and it's nationwide in every Whole Foods in the country, several other chains, regional stores, co-ops, widely available right here at home, too. Oliver's, I think, sells every single thing we make.
And I see it at, I'm pretty sure, Andy's.
Yes, Andy's.
Andy's, Green Valley Organics. They don't have it at Furcrest yet.
Yeah. Even Furcrest handles some of the, our items too, but getting back to Andy's, that was the first store to carry our goat milk and goat cheese way back in the day,
when,
like 1970.
Yeah, and you would, and at that point it was raw goat milk.
Oh yeah, in a bottle. We just, you know, I think they've probably renovated 18 times since, you know, we started delivering milk there. They're just a little roadside fruit stand. They had one little refrigerator, and my dad and I would load up the milk, and we'd drop off maybe 5 or 6 quarts a week, you know. And but other than that, people would come up to our farm on our system and just buy a quart of raw goat milk.
Now, are you, and you're not doing goat milk, unprocessed goat milk anymore?
No. It was just, you know, goats are seasonal in their milk production.
Right.
Right now it's winter shortage time. Many goats on maternity leave, so the real finite supply of goat milk, and it got to the point where our cheeses, yogurts, and kefirs are so popular, virtually nobody was buying goat milk anymore. And then, of course, all the rules. You know, when we started, it was no problem to do raw goat milk in a bottle and just hand it off. Now they, you know, they would make you put a giant warning label in all the bureaucracy involved in that, and it's one of the best things you can put in your body.
I just heard, I'm not sure if it was on NPR or where it was, but it's been within the last 10 days, somebody talking about raw milk and about you should never, ever, ever take even a sip of raw milk because it's so dangerous. And it's like, we're in the modern world, and it's gotten to that, and then I go and pour myself a glass of the nice raw Jersey milk that I get.
I'm like you. I love the Jersey milk.
Yes.
You know, Karen's Jersey, her, that's where it's at. Even growing up a long time ago, we had all the milk, all the goats. Mom had to have a Jersey cow for cream for her coffee. Mm-hmm. We had to have that. She wasn't putting goat milk in her coffee.
Yeah. That's how I actually learned to drink coffee. I was living on a farm when I first moved here, and they it was a dairy, but they'd sold all their dairy cows just before I got there. But they kept one. They kept Muley. I'm pretty sure Muley was a Jersey cow. And this one day, this one summer, I didn't have any money for rent, and I offered to paint my the house I was living in, and they sent me down a gallon of milk.
Ooh.
And right, that thick cream on the top, and because we were painting and it was hot, we were making coffee and putting that thick cream in the coffee, and that's how I became a coffee drinker for a while.
Oh, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, it's so good. What are you going to be doing for the Cheese Festival this year?
Yeah, we're co-sponsoring again, as we do every year, but we're heavily involved in the Artisan Marketplace, the Sunday event, and I think it's one of the greatest concentrations of cheese makers under one tent.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in the state, maybe anywhere.
Yeah.
On one day, and not only do you get to try before you buy, we'll have everything for sale, but get to talk to the cheesemakers. In many cases, are going to be manning their tables there. So try, learn.
It's like a giant farmer's market of cheese where you can talk to the producers.
And the Artisan Cheese Festival has become more inclusive of our local restaurants and chefs and winemakers and brewers and cideries. So a lot of good food people are involved along with the cheese. Of course, it is a cheese-centric event.
And what are you going to be doing there, Karen, at the Cheese Festival?
The same thing. We'll have our booth. And my son is actually the cheesemaker now, so he'll be there also. We're also going to be involved in the restaurant.
I was going to ask you if you were paired
the
with
the competition.
Yes. Who are you paired with? Do you know yet?
Seared Restaurant in Petaluma.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
are you doing that part of it?
Yeah, I don't know who we're.
You're with Jordan Winery, and they're going to pour their Chardonnay also.
Okay, thanks. I'm just finding that out now.
There you go. Okay, let's take one more musical break, and we'll be back with more talk about you know what. Cheese. It is Mouthful. We are talking about the upcoming California Artisan Cheese Festival with our guests from Valley Forge Cheese Company and Redwood Hill Farm Goat Dairy. And we just, off mic, we tasted this cheese that is, I think, really remarkable. Karen, tell us about this blue cheese.
Well, this is still... a work in progress, but it's
does that mean in part it's not been released yet?
It's you're getting it firsthand.
Okay.
It's been released in small batches
okay.
to certain events, just
okay.
because we don't have a lot yet.
Okay.
But it's been It's been a work in progress, and I think my son has nailed it now. Mm-hmm. Tell us his name. So Joe, my son Joe, is actually the cheesemaker now.
Okay.
He returned home to kind of take over
and step in.
And it is officially his cheese, and that was, it's been a year of, besides making all the other cheeses, mm-hmm. and then trying to make a day, maybe on a weekend, to mm-hmm. do this. So it's been a lot of work with just the two of us, mm-hmm. but.
And what are you calling this one?
It doesn't have a name yet.
Okay, so we can look
forward
to that.
So that's how new it is, mm-hmm. and it's going to be more in that dolce style, which is going to be really creamy.
Very creamy. It already is pretty creamy. It doesn't have that, you know, some of the blue cheeses are more crumbly. And this one doesn't have the crumbly quality. It already has that velvety, voluptuous texture. It's very good.
Thank you.
Really like it. Now, is this all Jersey milk?
It's all Jersey. Mm. And all of our cheeses are raw. Mm-hmm. So, meaning they have aged 60 days plus before they're released.
Yeah, is that a state or federal or international requirement? Not international. You can have raw cheeses younger than that if you live in other countries.
Exactly.
But so I guess it's domestic that it has
to have
to be aged.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Judy, back to you. Who are some of the other local cheese producers that will be seen at the festival?
Well, you know, since the Cheese Festival started 10 years ago, I think we've seen a lot more cheesemakers pop up locally.
No kidding.
So we've got some of them that are participating only in farm tours, and then others you'll see at the marketplace. And we have Acadena and Baranaga and Bellwether Farms and Bleeding Heart, Bohemian, Chavu, which is a new product, Cowgirl Creamery, Laura Chanel, Marin French, Nicasio Valley, Penny Royal, which is up north, Pug's Leap, of course, Redwood Hill, Tamales Farmstead, Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese, Valley Ford, of course, Y Rock, and those.
Oh, Y Rock is involved.
Yeah, they are involved in one of the seminars.
Okay, because I know that there's the thought that they are going to be moving.
Yes, I think that is why they're only a little bit involved this year.
They're moving up maybe in the Humboldt area, I think. They could not get the land that they needed in Sonoma County. I think they had to. I think the land where they had been started in Pengrove was being sold or something like that. And I just, their cheeses are so wonderful.
And they're great people.
Wonderful people. They've been on Mouthful several times. They are great people. And I tasted some of the products that they were just... They weren't selling. They were just making, you know, they made the most fabulous yogurt, sheep's milk yogurt. It was so good. Which brings me to something that I'm wondering if you include it. Do you do anything with butter?
We invite dairies to participate in different ways. So one of our farm tours is to McClellan's Dairy, where people will get to see them making butter and try butter.
Great.
The other is Haberton Hill.
Good stuff.
They will be at the marketplace, so I believe they'll be selling their sheep butter.
Their sheep butter is so good. McClellan's is excellent. We have such a wealth of wonderful butter in the North Bay here, but the Haverton Hill sheep's milk butter is mind-blowing. It's different, but it's still butter, and it's wonderful, which brings me to goat butter.
Yeah, you know, the thing about that, and we've made it.
I've had it from you before.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have a little old-fashioned cream separator on the farm, and I've made it just for myself and for family. But it takes a lot of goat milk to make a pound of butter.
Yeah, it does.
So there's a challenge there. And not to say that we won't, never will.
Uh-huh.
But not right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's, what do you think of the goat butters?
Oh, you know... I just love butter, you know.
Me too.
Fat is magic.
Yes.
You know, it's cheese, butter. Getting back to the Haverton Hill, I've got two tubs in the fridge right now. I was eating it last night over some good local bread, and I just can't get enough of that stuff.
I can't either, and it's so good. It is so good. And if I ever get involved with the Cheese Festival, I would love to do something for you with our local butters. I mean, there's just so many... You get so much incredible flavor. And then, plus, you know, if you have good milk, You can just at home make your own butter, or good cream. You can make your own butter. For a while, there was a cookware store. There's still a cookware store in Sebastopol, Cultivate Home. It's closed right now because it has a new owner. A local woman bought it, and she's expecting to reopen on April 1st. But under the previous owner, they had their 75% off shelf or something, and they had this little butter maker. And it was a plastic jar with netting over the top, and then the lid would turn into a ramekin.
Wow.
And what you did was you got your butter, and you set it at room temperature for, you know, for several hours, and then you put your butter in. You the ramekin serves as a lid. You tighten it, and then you shake it, and you just shake it vigorously for 2 to 3 minutes, and then you pour through that little mesh top. You pour off the liquid, wash it with a little cold water, and pour off the liquid some more. And then you scoop it out and put it in the ramekin. And it's just somebody gave us a milk crate full of clover organic cream that was past its date. I mean, just a friend of my daughter's did that, and so I made about 3 pounds of butter. And I just used the last, and now I'm going to have to go buy butter again. I'm spoiled with my own butter. But yeah, butter, you know, butter is almost cheese.
Yeah.
It seems to me. And, you know, it's like, what an amazing thing milk is, that it transforms into these remarkably delicious and easy to use and nutritious things.
Yeah, they have this amazing milk shed here from West Marin to Sonoma County, even up into Mendocino and Humboldt. Yeah. It's this great milk shed, a whole bunch of really, you know, long-time, multi-generational ranchers like Karen's family, and people doing the weird goat stuff like us, and sheep milk and butter and cheese.
I think it's the first sheep creamery, the first sheep butter and sheep milk is from Haverton Hill, I think, in the country.
Oh, really?
I think so. So.
Well, I'm still tasting it from last night.
Yeah. You're making me want to go out and get some. I might have to stop at Oliver's sells it. I might have to stop at Oliver's on my way home. Now, let's go back to the festival. Volunteers.
Yes. The festival is 3 days. It takes lots of people to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we definitely are looking still for great volunteers, people that have good people skills and people that want to help. We've got, you know, helping the chefs and helping the cheesemakers and helping behind the scenes.
Probably have a lot of tables to set up and a lot of tables to take down.
Exactly. So a lot of great opportunities. You can sign up on our website at artisancheesefestival.com. There's a volunteer click-through that can get you signed up, and you can put in, you know, what morning works better, afternoon works better, Friday's better. You can kind of choose your shift.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, I know that a lot of Mouthful listeners like to volunteer for things, and I think several heard about the volunteer opportunities for Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Great.
And, you know, it's... If you're an introvert, I really recommend volunteering, because introverts still like to go to things, but I speak as one. It can be overwhelming to be in a big crowd of people if you don't have a role. You can sort of, I don't know what to do with myself. I have to get out of here and be alone. But if you're volunteering, I think it creates this real comfort zone, even if you're the kind of person that doesn't do well in big crowds. So if you've been curious about it but just haven't been sure if, you know, you want to be with a big group of people for several hours, try volunteering. It really, you know, if I go to a party, you might find me bartending or, you know, in the kitchen doing something, just because I feel like that's sort of my comfort zone. And I just think it's a really great thing, great way to experience a lot of the things that are going on in Sonoma County. What about the people who come to the festival, not the vendors, but just the public who comes? Do you have any measure on the distance that
we
they're
do.
Coming?
You know, we see a few people from out of the country.
Oh, really?
But typically, year in, year out, we get about 20 different states represented. Not always the same states, but generally about 20 different states we see people from. And of course, there's a lot of people that drive, you know, are from the Bay Area.
Sure.
But then we also get a few people that will do the whole 3-day weekend, and they'll come, they'll they'll vacation. This will be their vacation mm-hmm. because they have such a great time.
Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Another thing that puts Sonoma County on the map where it deserves to be. So one thing I want to do is, well, we've heard the website. It's CaliforniaArtisanCheeseFestival.com. Is that right?
It is just ArtisanCheeseFestival.com.
For people who want to know more about Valley Forge Cheese Company, website?
ValleyForgeCheeseCo.com.
There you go. And then local markets.
Lots of local markets. Hillsburg, you'll find us in Occidental during the summer months. Mm-hmm. Those two are the basic ones that we are doing.
Okay. And then Redwood Hill. You got a lot of options.
Yeah, redwoodhill.com, and we're on the social media platforms. And kidding season just started, so check us out on Facebook for all the latest on the baby goats.
There's nothing like a baby goat. Oh, I remember one time I was bringing a class to Redwood Hill when you were still on Cherry Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
And as my class was walking up, Jennifer was walking down with an infant goat that still had its wet cord attached to it, and next to her was a frolicking goat that was probably 2 days old. Mm-hmm. And goats, tell me if I'm wrong, but goats love people. They are really interactive. And this little goat bounced over to me and practically leapt into my arms, and I carried it around for the whole day. Yeah. And you will have your May and June tours?
Yeah, open house weekends every year, Mother's Day weekend, and then also the 21st, 22nd of May. And you're right. Goats, baby goats, they bond with their caregivers. We're their parents, and they love us. We love them.
And they even like strangers. I had my cheek all licked by a goat. And on that note, we are out of time once again. Time flies here on Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming. Thanks for tuning in. You can always re-listen as a podcast, which should be up by Tuesday. And meet me back here next Sunday at 6 for another yummy episode on KRCB-FM Radio 91.